And all the parents in the room are excited as we come to the fifth commandment. I've already heard from several of you how much joy you have that we are here to talk about this commandment. And conveniently, all the children and youth need to take a bathroom break for the next 45 minutes or so. But I want to begin this morning by talking about my son. If you've ever had the pleasure of watching my son, Mikey, he has the best grumpy face in the entire world. I call it his grump face because when he is being defiant and he says no and he doesn't want to do something, his lip curls quite a bit, his eyebrows furl a little bit, and it's the cutest thing in the world. I tried to get a picture of it, but I didn't want to burden him just to get a picture out of it. I think that would violate some verses in Ephesians somewhere. But the point of me telling you that is we are born with this innate desire to be our own authority. We're born with this desire to push against those that are an authority over us because of our sin. And every time my son does that, it's revealing of his heart. He wants to be the one making the decisions. He wants to be the one to pick what he wants to do. And in those moments where I have to direct him and tell him what to do, he reveals that from his heart. And as we come to the fifth commandment, we get to highlight what's going on there. We get to highlight what is happening in our hearts when we have authority over us. We actually get to a transition point in the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with how we relate to God. And these have a very clear vertical aspect. This is how we view God as the only God. How we are not to idolize things. How we're to honor His name, honor His day. And then as we get to the fifth commandment, there's a transition here. And although the rest of the commandments have a very clear vertical component to them, because the way that we honor God is by loving others, but these are very much a horizontal plane, a horizontal relationship. This is how we deal with others. Jesus so effectively summarizes the way that the Ten Commandments are wrapped up in Matthew 22:37. The commandments 1-4, we're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then commandments 5-10, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So as we get to the fifth commandment, we actually get to understand, and I love that the fifth commandment is how we start this second half of the commandments, because this actually gives us a whole paradigm as to how we can honor God by loving our neighbor. So as we get to the fifth commandment, here's what I want us to see this morning. If you can pull up that slide for me, Gideon. The fifth commandment gives us structure that's modeled after authority from God. The fifth commandment gives us structure that's modeled after authority from God. So very simple points for us this morning. We're just going to look at a word to children and a word to parents. So let's start by looking at what this commandment tells us about children. And children and youth, just so you know, I'm going to be telling you some difficult things today. But don't be too afraid. Your parents aren't off the hook, okay? Because this commandment speaks a lot to parents as well. So this whole idea of authority. When we come to this commandment, the relationship of a parent is used, but it's not just limited to that, as we saw in the catechism questions. Authority in general is the principle that is highlighted here. The word to honor that's used here is actually used to convey something that is weighty, heavy, something of great value or worth. In Israelite culture, people in authority positions would be automatically given that honor. That was just a given. You would always give them authority. You would never take them lightly, or you'd never make light of them. Like I said earlier, you know, our biggest problem, the biggest problem facing youth today is not that of economics or politics or education, but it's rather an authority problem. All of us want to buck against authority. But the scriptures from the outset speak to authority and how we are to honor authority. How do we honor God? The simplest application is seen here in this commandment in the home. So submission to authority, it's a reality that we have to face in this world. Even though the culture always tells us to face every sort of authority with critique and criticism and suspicion, but authority is everywhere. And we have to be mindful of how we view authority, because the way that we view authority shows a lot about our hearts and how we view the authority from God. We should always start with the assumption of respect rather than having to earn respect when it comes to authority. So to children, to honor is to respect, esteem, value, prize your fathers and mothers as a gift from God. Do you view them as a gift? They are. The application is clear. So youth, whenever you try to pit me against your parents, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to push you back towards them and push you towards Jesus, because you are to honor them just as Jesus calls us to. If you can't stand your parents and your rules, what you're really saying is, I don't like anyone giving me rules. I don't like anyone being an authority over me. Let me tell you this. Some of the most frightening curses from the Old Testament come from disobedient children. Just a few verses for you. Leviticus 29. For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood is upon him. Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where they live. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son, stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. All Israel shall hear and fear. And all of a sudden, all the children start sinking into their seats in the pews. Children would be brought before the elders, and they would be stoned for habitual disobedience to their parents. Is that scary? It should be. This is how God dealt with disobedience with his people. Now, parents, I'm not advocating for this. This is not something we should be doing. In fact, this is part of the civil law, which is no longer part of what we apply. But the weight of it should really seek in for us, because God takes this command very, very seriously. I want to read from Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 31. And this is Paul's list of lots of different types of sins and how they dishonor God. And I want you to take note of something that's listed here. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind, to do aught not what to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossipers, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. You see, to have a constant, blatant resentment towards your parents, it's a life-depleting thing. It's a life-depleting sin. God takes this command very seriously, even though we're not taking you out to the city streets and stoning you to death for disobeying it. If you can't show honor to God, how can you, or if you can't show honor to your parents, the authorities that have been given to you by God, how can you listen to God's authority? And just one quick note here. Notice he says father and mother. The Bible makes a very clear distinction about biblical authority and leadership, and he places the burden and the hardship of that authority on the fathers. But mothers are highlighted here. Okay, in Leviticus 19:3, it actually says everyone shall revere his mother and his father. So there's a clear switching of those. That means they're both equally important in the authority structure. Mothers, you know, kids, if you think you can manipulate mom because you think that she's an easier target, that's disobeying God. Kids, if you think you can, you know, manipulate dad because he's a pushover, that's disobeying God. Okay? God calls us to live this commandment out in attitude and action. He wants us to live this out, and we have to train our hearts in order to actually show that kind of honor. Okay? It's not something that comes naturally. It's something that we have to invest in. Honor is and always will be a heart issue. And the heart's always going to produce something. Okay? So when you obey your parents, sometimes you're not always going to want to do it. The attitude may be lacking, but the action can be there, and that's okay. But that shouldn't be the pattern of our obedience. The pattern of our obedience should be looking at the structure that God has given us and saying, yes, I don't want to do this, but God has given me my parents, and they're asking me to do this. They're asking me to not do this specific thing, and I need to listen. It's a sign of Christian maturity if you're willing to honor those that God has placed in authority over you. And one of the ways that we can do this is by honoring our parents even though they make mistakes. Okay, I love the way that the Heidelberg Catechism puts it in question 104 when it asks, what does God require of the fifth commandment? It says that we should patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Kids, your parents are going to make mistakes. They're not perfect, but you're still to honor them even though they make mistakes. And the best example that we have of this is Jesus himself. Jesus submitted to his parents. He never played the Son of God card to stay out late. He never played the Son of God card to get out of doing chores. But rather, as we see in Luke 2:51, he submitted to his parents' authority. What a picture we have of that. See, Jesus always sides with submission to authority from his parents all the way up to Caesar himself through his ministry. So we too are to listen to those parameters, listen to those rules, not because our parents are trying to be a burden to us, but rather they're trying to protect and watch over and shepherd and grow. My wife and I just bought a house recently, and we have a small tree out front. It's kind of a pathetic-looking thing, but it's growing, right? And one of the ways that it grows is because when you plant a new tree, one way to help it with its growth is you put stakes in the ground next to it, and you tether it to those stakes, and it helps it grow straight. See, if a tree is crooked and breaks when it's growing, what's going to happen? It's not going to grow well. This is the way that our parents work for us. This is the way that authority works for us. It tethers us to God's word. It tethers us to things that will keep us safe. Tethers us to things that are good. And if we try to cut those tethers and do things on our own, we may not grow the way that God wants us to. We may not grow in ways that are healthy. Ephesians 6:1 tells us that this is the first commandment with a promise. And this promise is to me an encouragement to you, young people. The original context of this promise, you know, Israel had just come out of slavery. They were going into the promised land. And God said, if you will listen to my commands, you will live long in the land that I shall give you. And what happened? They disobeyed God's commands. And what did he do? He exiled them. Okay? This promise that's given here in the fifth commandment is not a promise of long life. This doesn't mean if you obey your parents, you're going to live to be 115 years old. It's not what he's saying. But what it does mean is that the principle that we apply here means that if you honor the authority structures that are over you, specifically your parents, things will go better for you. Things will go well for you in the land. And here's just a few examples, children. One day you're going to get a job. What happens if you don't like your boss and you speak ill of him? It won't go well for you in the land. When you're taking driver's ed and you don't listen to the instructor, it's not going to go well for you in the land of driver's education. When you get to college and there's a professor that you just don't have respect for and you don't write the papers, you don't take the tests, what's going to happen? It's not going to go well for you in the land. Simple application here, kids. You get grounded less when you don't disobey your parents, okay? The guarantee is not long life, but it is that it will be a blessing to you, okay? This whole picture of what is talked about here, that it will go well for you in the land, it's actually a Hebrew idiom of talking about God's blessing. If you want to live under the smile of God's blessing, one way that you can do that is by honoring those that God has put over you, okay? Whatever it may be, listen to your parents. They know better than you whether you think they do or not. They've lived life long and they've made lots of mistakes themselves. They want to teach you. And one way that you can honor God is by listening to them. All right, kids, take a break. I'm going to talk to your parents for a little bit. Let's next consider what this commandment means for parents. So parents, respecting authority applies to every person in every situation, and this involves you as well. This involves you and the authority that's over you. So the basic building block of this commandment is modeled from the top down, and if your children see you dishonoring the authorities that are in your life, then why should we expect our children to honor us as authorities. You know, the Israelites actually used the term father to describe all those in authority. They would call kings and governors fathers. And that was specifically a way to show them honor. Okay? The fifth commandment rules our relationships, and it has to be modeled from the top down. So think about the ways that you view authority in your own home. Do you speak ill of your boss at the kitchen table? Do you pay your taxes? Do you lie to get out of speeding tickets when the kids are in the back seat? Do you pray for governors? Do you pray for governing authorities? You know, how do you speak about your pastors, elders, and deacons? How do you speak to the local manager at the restaurant and berate them because they got your food wrong? The way that we interact with those that are above us, our kids see. They may not always listen to what we say, but they're always watching what we do. Okay? And we need to be exercising authority correctly, and we need to be submitting to authority correctly. Parents are called to exercise authority in God-honoring ways. Discipline is not bad. Bad discipline is bad. Okay? Ephesians 6:4 spoke of this in my introduction. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're to correct in love and not anger. We're to place reasonable expectations on children. Pray for them, encourage them, counsel and protect them. Set godly examples for them. Show them what godly marriages look like. Show them what godly work looks like. Show them what godly parenthood looks like. Show them how we can prioritize worship. If we don't prioritize worship in our families, we should never expect our children to prioritize worship. Our children are watching. And kids, if I can just remind you, there are several reasons why parents deserve your honor and respect. From the day that you were conceived until the day that you leave the house, and maybe even beyond that, your parents have been walking a 24/7 living sacrifice for you. They love you. They want to sacrifice for you. Wealth and knowledge and life experience. They've learned how to learn from their own mistakes. They have the God-given task and responsibility to teach you how to know and love God. And that's a really hard task. Okay? They set appropriate boundaries for you. And oftentimes they keep you within the bounds of you know, fulfilling your own impulses. They know what's good for you and they know what's bad for you. And they want to keep you from those things. And if I could just speak very, very shortly on this. God's plan for the family is not always a joy for everyone. If an authority figure transgresses God's word or demands that the people underneath them do unlawful things. I love the way that John Calvin puts it. Sorry. He says that they have a perfect right to regard those authorities as strangers who are trying to lead them away from the authority of the true Father. No child should ever face abuse of any kind. Those that do, those authorities lose their honor. So children, we love you. You can trust your pastors and elders. This is not an excuse for you to just come and tell us all about all the things your parents do, but if you are in any kind of situation, then please come and talk to us. All right, I've gotten that out of the way. Let's move on. I did a parenting seminar during COVID. If you'd like to tune into it, you can go on the Westminster page, go to the youth section, go to the audio page, and scroll down and find the parenting seminars. I encourage you to check those out. It's looking at a parenting book by Paul David Tripp, and there's a quote from this book that I actually find very helpful for you as parents, and I hope that this is an encouragement to you. He says this, "In every moment as you're parenting your children, the Heavenly Father is parenting you. As you are lovingly confronting your children with the hope that they would confess their needs and commit to change, the Heavenly Father is confronting you. As you seek to encourage your children towards what is right, your Heavenly Father is working to grow that desire for right in you. In all these moments, when you intervene to protect your children from their own foolish choices, the Great Father is protecting you from you." If we want to impress upon our children the value of God's law and the value of the worship that we owe to God, then we must be showing that it is making an impact on us. We have to be displaying that. We have to be showing our children that it's changing us too. Paul David Tripp uses this as an illustration. I find this very helpful. He calls parents to view their authority that's given to them similar to that of an ambassador. You know, as an ambassador, you can't just walk into a country. So say the U.S. ambassador to England can't just walk up to the Queen of England and just start making demands because they want something. Their authority only comes from the authority that's given to them by their authority. An ambassador can't just make decisions on their own. They can't use their authority on their own. They are given authority and they are told to use it wisely. And they have to be in full submission to the authority that's over them. I find this to be a very helpful way of looking at parenthood. Our authority is not ours. It's given to us by God to be used in godly, honoring ways. So our application this morning, children, do you always talk back to your parents? Do you speak well of them with your friends? What do you say about them in your head when no one can hear you except you and God? To parents, do you demand respect, or does your reputation of grace and love lead towards it? Do you take time to strengthen your relationship with your children? What do you say about your kids in your head when no one is listening except for you and God? See, all of us fail in these questions because of our sin. And this is where we have to rest in God. Rest in the perfect authority that He has and the perfect submission that He has displayed to His Father. See, Jesus submitted to the Father's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want you to think about this. Isaiah 53, a messianic psalm, describes the beauty of the coming Messiah, the beauty of Jesus. And it uses some language that we should find very familiar. The Old Testament Promised Land was a graphic picture of eternity. And when Jesus comes and submits to the Father, He prolongs our days, as Isaiah says, that we shall live long in the land that God has given us. So here's a lesson for us to anyone who is in authority or anyone who is in submission to authority. Jesus never exercises His authority in ways that earthly authority abuses it. He never crosses the line with His words. He never disciplines too harshly, but He lays down His life for you and I. And we didn't deserve that kind of love, that kind of authority. Just as we close here, a story from the U.S. Institute of Naval Proceedings, a riveting reading, if I must say. But this is a story about a man named Frank Cook, who was sharing an interaction that he had on the bridge of a battleship as he was on a training mission at sea. A storm arose, and he was sent to be on watch on the bridge, and the captain had joined him because visibility was low. It was very foggy. And they heard someone, one of the lookouts, scream out that they saw a light directly in front of them. And the captain asked, "Is the light steady or is it moving?" And the lookout said, "It's steady," which meant they were on a dangerous collision course with this vessel. And the captain called out to the signalman and he said, "Radio this to them. We're on a collision course. Change course 20 degrees immediately." And the response came back, said, "I advise you to change course 20 degrees immediately." The captain, getting a little frustrated, said, "I am a captain, change course 20 degrees immediately." The response came back, "I am a seaman second class, change course 20 degrees immediately." And at this point, the captain was incredibly frustrated, and he said, "I am a battleship, change course 20 degrees immediately." To which the response came back, "I'm a lighthouse, change course 20 degrees immediately." When we look at the authorities in our life, oftentimes when we buck against those authorities, when we dishonor those authorities, we are staring directly into Jesus' authority. We're telling Him to change course because I want to be the one in authority. But He's looking right back at us. And He's telling you and me, all of us, to change course, submit to His authority. The beauty of His authority. Because when we dishonor the authorities that He's given us, we dishonor Him. But when we honor the authorities that he's given us. We honor him as he is due. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you that you are our authority. We thank you that you are the one that has lived out perfect authority and perfect submission to your Father's authority. We thank you that you have done that for us because we could not have done that on our own. I do pray this morning for the parents in the room that you would bless them, that you watch over them as they seek to shepherd and care for their children. I do pray for our children that they would learn what it means to honor the parents. And Father, I just pray for all of us, Lord, even as we grow older and we are no longer under the direct authority of our parents, one of the ways that we can do this is by continuing to pray for them, continuing to communicate and watch over them, to care for them in their later days, Lord. Help us to always honor and respect our parents, no matter what stage of life we're in, because you've given them to us as a gift. We pray all this in Christ's holy and wonderful name. Amen.